Gospels with you this morning, turn with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter number 14. Matthew, chapter number 14. I'm going to pick up the reading at verse number 22. Matthew 14, beginning at verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit!" And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Are you crazy? You can't walk on water." I'm just checking to see if you're following me. And he said, "Come." When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for allowing us to be together just like this again. Thank you for the way you've ministered to us already in the Bible study time and in the worship time. And I pray, Lord, that you would use these various elements now to prepare our hearts to be ready to receive your word. I look to you for your divine assistance, asking, Lord, that you would enable me to do what I've been called upon to do, for it's beyond my strength, ability, or intellect. And so we need that fresh unction from the Holy One that makes a difference. Lord, as you speak through me, would your Spirit speak to all of us now? In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I was getting a little bit uneasy this morning in the Bible study time when Brother Dave got, as he was teaching us in Mark, and he parked on Mark chapter 6 for a little while. I thought either he's going to give me a wonderful introduction to the message or he's going to preach my message this morning. I didn't know which it was going to be. I think it turned out to be a little bit better of an introduction. Thank you for not parking there any longer, brother. But anyway, he didn't know where I was going to be, and I knew he was going to be in Mark, but I didn't have a clue he was going to make reference to chapter 6. I was just glad I didn't read from chapter 6 of Mark this morning. We're in Matthew chapter 14. There's a lot that is going on here, and I like to preach in expository ways to dig things out of Scripture and look at it. This morning is going to be a little bit more along the lines of a topical sermon, but I want to do expository as well. And I look at this passage of Scripture, and what we discover here in these verses, from verses 22 to 33, that the disciples are on board a ship. Jesus is not on board the ship with them at this time. And they have found themselves in a horrible storm. It's in the middle of the night, the fourth watch of the night. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning, the darkest part of the night. Not only is it dark because of the time, but it's also dark because of the storm clouds. If there's any moon out, if it's a full moon, if there's any stars shining, well, there are, but the storm clouds have them covered. And so it's a dark time, and the disciples are in a storm. I want us to look at that subject this morning, because it's one that whether you've been saved 5 minutes or 50 years, there's not a one of us here that has not been affected and experienced storms in our life. And the enemy would love to use the storms in our life to wreak havoc on us spiritually. In fact, without knowing many of you before I came here, I can share this with you. When it comes to the storms of life, there are 3 categories of people. There are those who are coming out of a storm. There are those who are in the midst of a storm. And some of you, whew, Brother George, I'm not in either one of those 2 categories. Well, fasten your seatbelt. You're in the 3rd category. That means you're about to go into one, okay? The 3 categories, you're either coming out of one, you're in the midst of one, or you're about to go into one. And then if your storms have been anything like my storms, or the storms that I've helped people go through and over the course of my ministry, it seems like they can be categorized in one of 4 ways. It seems like there are emotional storms. It seems like there are physical storms. It seems like there may be financial storms. And then, of course, there's the obvious spiritual storms. Any of those would be bad enough and plenty enough in and of themselves. But you know what I've discovered? Sometimes those rascals will overlap on you. They will actually overlap on you. Say, what do you mean they overlap? I'm glad you asked. You're still asking good questions. What I mean by that is, let me give an example. Back in the 1990s, when my wife and I were pastoring at our home church, my wife was going through some very difficult physical storms. Over the course of about 8 years, she had experienced about 5 different surgeries in her mouth and in her jaws. Sometimes one, it started out to correct a birth defect where she had a European kind of like underbite, and so her lower jaw was underdeveloped, and because of that her joints in her jaws had been destroyed, where she tried to compensate for that, and so they cut her lower jaw and they split it, and they cut her upper jaw and split it and tried to align them, and then they had to replace a joint, and then they had to repair a joint, and then they had to take a piece of bone from her hip to put up there to adhere her upper jaw to her skull again. And it was just one thing after another. And if that was not bad enough, that was a huge physical storm for my wife that went on for several years. And then to top it all off, it's an emotional storm for us, because loving her and seeing her going through that, and we're going through all of that emotion of seeing what she's experiencing. And then on top of that, we had 2 different insurance companies that went bankrupt on us while we were paying our premiums, and they left us with several thousands of dollars of unpaid medical bills that we were then responsible for. So she's going through a physical storm. Together we're going through an emotional storm, and now we have a financial storm, and the enemy jumps on board with that to try to cause a spiritual storm. And I'm not saying anything to you that some of you aren't able to relate with as well. And when it comes to the storms of life, and if I were to ask you, and into people that I have dealt with over the years that are dealing with storms, it's usually we spend most of the time wanting answers to 2 questions. Why has the storm come? And when is the storm going to be over? That seems to be the 2 big questions. But I want to say to you this morning, if those are the only questions we're looking at for answers for, we're going to miss it. Because I'm convinced that the two important questions to ask are this. What do you want me to learn in the storm? And how do you want me to respond in the storm? I think a message on our response to the storm would be a better one to preach to you this morning. But I feel the Lord would have me to share with you, because so many of us want to know why the storm has come. Let me share with you, with the Lord's help this morning, some reasons for the storm. Because sometimes we may be better to understand what we need to learn in the storm and how we need to respond if we can better understand the reason for the storm coming to begin with. And so when I look at this passage of Scripture and I see that the disciples are in a storm, and one of the things that I notice that when you go back and reread and read some of the passages of Scripture that are ahead of this. For example, in verses 1 through 12. In verses 1 through 12, we have the story and the explanation of how John the Baptist came about being beheaded. And so here is a forerunner of Jesus and a relative of Jesus who has been beheaded. And Jesus gets word of that. And notice the response of Jesus. The disciples of John have come and picked up his body and taken it for burial. Jesus gets in a boat and departs from there and goes off alone here. And so it's not outlined in a great detail, but would you agree with me that some of the biggest storms we face are when there is the grief and pain of relationships. And many of you sitting here have understood the storms of the grief and pain of broken relationships, whether it's because of a divorce, whether it's because of someone passing away, or any number of other relationships. And if we're not careful, those kinds of storms, because they hurt so they deeply in their hurt, it is so easy to kind of push away from that and not want to get close to anybody. Because it seems like every time we get close to somebody, we get hurt. And those storms come along. And then we see that in the next verses, in verses 13 to 21, even in the midst of this, the multitude follows Jesus, and now it ends up being a massive multitude on this hillside that he ends up teaching to and preaching to, that now they have to deal with how we're going to feed this bunch. And so along with the responsibilities and stress of ministry, and there are many of you here this morning that understand the stress and responsibility of ministry that the enemy can use that to create storms in your life. And so here's the disciples in this boat. And they're rowing for their life, and they think their life is in jeopardy, and they're in this horrible storm. So let's look, and I'll try to cover this as quickly as possible. Why? Why do we go through storms? And by the way, God's people are not exempt from storms. Mark that down. You say, what do you mean? You see, if you want to know the big reason, one of the main reasons we go through some storms, mark it down. It's just a normal part of life. You may not like it, I don't like it, but it's a normal part of life. You say, what do you mean? When I awakened this morning, and thank you for the accommodations this week, but when I awakened this morning, I looked around the room. I did not see walls of jasper. I did not see streets of gold. I did not see gates of pearl. I came to the quick conclusion this morning, I did not die last night and go to heaven. Best I can tell, none of you did either. And because of that, I still awakened on this side of eternity. And the reality of that is, I awakened into a world that has a sin curse on it. I don't like it. You don't like it. Take it up with Adam and Eve. They fouled it up for all of us. And what happened in the Garden of Eden, in that perfect environment where there was no sin, there was no sorrow, there was no sickness, there was no death. And now, all of a sudden, all of that has been introduced into this world and into our lives. Don't get mad at God. God was trying to redeem us. The devil destroyed it all. And for the life of me, I often wonder, when people go through storms, why do they blame God and get mad at God and leave God and go running to the devil when the devil is the one that's the culprit behind of it? Why don't we get mad at the devil and go running to God? Some of you get that on the way home, but anyway, I'm reminded of what the Lord Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, and in verse number 45, he said, "He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." You know what that means to me? That when I'm walking on the grounds of this camp here in Butler, Georgia, or thereabouts, when the sun is shining on me, it has nothing to do with my relationship with God. It has everything to do with my relationship on this planet where I'm at that moment. If the sun is shining in Butler, Georgia, anybody in Butler, Georgia can enjoy the sunshine regardless of their relationship with the Lord. If it clouds up today and rains, and if I walk outside in the rain, you may find this hard to believe, but this bald head of mine will get wet. Has nothing to do with my relationship with the Lord. Has everything to do with me not having enough sense to get in out of the rain. If it rains in this campground or in Butler, Georgia today, it has everything to do with us being in Butler, Georgia, not with where we are spiritually. There are going to be times that we experience some things that the only reason we're experiencing that is it's just a normal part of life. As one friend of mine would say, suck it up, buttercup. There are those things that come along and we experience them just because we're on this planet. And being a child of God does not exempt you from that. In fact, I see that there are those, we attend the funeral. We go to the bedside in hospitals of people who are precious people of faith and saints of God. We're not exempt from that. So there are storms that come. Death and disease and heartache and heartbreak and struggles and problems come to all of us as long as we're on this side of eternity. We're not home yet, children. You say, well then, what difference does it make whether I serve God or not? I'm glad you brought that up. I'll tell you, it makes a big difference. Because when the world goes through storms like we go through, they think their only recourse is, maybe I'll drown my sorrows out with alcohol. Maybe I'll numb my brain with drugs. Maybe I'll do better than that. Maybe I'll solve the problem by just blowing my brains out. But when the child of God goes through those kind of storms, we have a source and a strength that the world does not have. I have a hope the world does not have. The world has a hopeless end, but we have an endless hope. There's a big difference there. And so there are some storms that we're going to go through that are just a normal part of life. But also know this. There are storms that we will go through. That there are some people would, there are storms they wouldn't have gone through had it not been for storms of their own making. I want some of you to think about your lifestyle and your life. Many times there were times that we went through storms that if we would be honest with ourselves, they were just simply storms of our own making. Let me give you some biblical examples. Would you agree with me that in the book of Exodus, when Egypt is going through those 10 plagues, I think if I would have been in Egypt at that time, I would have said we went through 10 pretty good storms. And yet they could have avoided every one of those storms had Pharaoh not hardened his heart and he would have just simply let God's people go. One storm after another, but it was a storm of his own making. When I think about the children of Israel, 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, that was not God's plan. That was not God's intention for them. He wanted them to come out of Egypt, not to flounder in the wilderness, but to go over into the promised land. And they could have gone there in a matter of a few weeks, not 40 years. And yet a whole generation was disinherited by God. A whole generation died in the wilderness in a horrible storm, but it was a storm of their own making. When I think about Jonah, when Jonah is called to go and preach to the folks at Nineveh, and instead of going that, he gets on a boat and heads in the other direction. And while he's on that boat, there is a storm that comes up. He could have avoided that storm if he would have gone directly to Nineveh. I think about Samson. Samson is blind and grinding at the prison grist mill. Samson could have avoided that storm had he not lay in the lap of Delilah and revealed the source of his strength. I think about Judas. Judas went through a horrible storm, so much so that even after he returned the 30 pieces of silver, he couldn't live with the guilt of that, went out and hanged himself. It was a horrible storm. It was a storm of his own making. On and on throughout Scripture, there are those who went through storms. We might want to question God. We might even blame God. But God would have every right to look at us and say, that's a storm of your own making. Over the years of my ministry, I have ministered to people who've gone through horrible storms. I wouldn't say this. I wouldn't be this insensitive. But the many times I would like to have said, this is just a storm of your own making. I have some relatives, not the ones you're thinking of, but other ones. And I have some relatives that live as though God does not exist, and they live a life that is contrary to His Word. But then if you talk to them, oh, they can be real spiritual, especially on Facebook. One moment they're praying for somebody, the next moment they got a post to where they're cussing somebody. Don't act so innocent. You see, you got some of the same ones on your Facebook page. And I tell you what, I'm not beyond just calling them out on it. And so I have this second cousin who has been living a very promiscuous life, lives a life total disregard to God's Word. And then all of a sudden she gets on Facebook and says, God hates me. And she begins to blast God, blah, blah, blah. Why does God do this and that? And I just had to send her a message. It was a private message. But I said, listen, you can't live your life the way you want to in disobedience to God's Word as though God doesn't exist and then get on social media and blast and blame God because that blows up in your face. It's a storm of her own making. I remember, I may have mentioned when I was here last time, but in 2009, my baby brother was retiring at the age of 50, the West Virginia State Trooper. And boy, it was really a good time for him. At the age of 50, not only was he retiring, but his retirement pay was going to be higher than his working pay. And after he retired, he got hired at a federal courthouse being security, and that was paying even more than what he was going to get when he was a state trooper. And so he was, as his older brother, on a preacher's income, I hate to admit this, I was a little bit envious. In a non-carnal way, of course. But here he is 50 years old and retiring. And his income's even higher than what it was when he was working. But 4 months after my brother retired, he was diagnosed with cancer. Had a walnut-sized tumor in his jawbone and a second one starting beside that. For years, my brother had dipped snuff. And the snuff had caused oral cancer there in his jawbone. And they were going to take his jawbone out and take a piece of his shin and rebuild that, and hopefully everything would be all right. And I was coming through his town from a meeting one time, and I met him along the side of the highway when I got that news. And he shared with me then, he said, "I got nobody to blame but myself." He ignored our warnings. He ignored the warnings of his own dentist. He continued to do it. And now the diagnosis was not very good. In fact, the last 1 year later, I had to preach my baby brother's funeral. The last 10 months of his life, he lived on a feeding tube in his belly. And this strong, healthy law enforcement guy, now at the pinnacle of his life when he can enjoy the fruit of his labor, is now dwindling down to a shell of a man. And needlessly, he was going through a horrible storm. But at his own admission, the storm of his own making. I have ministered to people who were dying of cirrhosis of the liver simply because they had destroyed their liver with years of alcohol abuse. I have done funerals and ministered to people who were dying of lung cancer simply because of years of abusing their lungs with cigarette smoking. Now, don't get me wrong. I know I've had friends who have died of cirrhosis of the liver that never drank a drop of alcohol in their life. I've had friends that have died of lung cancer that never smoked a cigarette in their life. I understand that. But I believe this. There are many people who've gone through some physical storms that the only reason they're going through those storms is simply because they are storms of their own making. There were many times over the years of my ministry, I ministered to couples who were, their homes were on the verge of breaking up. They were going through a horrible storm. And many times the reason that was happening is because one of the individuals in that marriage decided to be unfaithful. And in their unfaithfulness to kind of serve their own self-serving purposes, they wouldn't have been going through that storm had they been faithful to their marriage vows. They wouldn't have been going through that storm had they not been a storm of their own making. I remember another time I was ministering to a family. They had two daughters that was the same age as my sons, went to the same Christian school that my sons attended. And they called me over into their home one evening. And as I sat there in the living room, and there the teenage daughter was sitting before her pastor, and they were all in tears, and I thought, this ain't going to be good. And that 16-year-old girl who attended, I was a member of our church who was attending school in a Christian school, shared with me that she was expecting a baby out of wedlock. And the father of the baby was also attending our church and was going to the same Christian school. And they were going through a horrible storm. But listen to me, when we get outside of God's parameters for the sexual design of what God had originally intended for, we can expect some problems to come. In fact, the scripture tells us in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. When we get outside the biblical parameters of sexual relationships, you can expect some storms. God designed human sexuality within the framework of marriage between a man and a woman, not between two men, not between two women, not between an adult and a child, not before marriage, and not extramarital. When we get outside of those parameters, mark it down, you're going to bring on some storms. I remember back in 2008 and 2009, when there was this housing crash. And I realized that the news media then brought up a lot and shoved a lot of the responsibility on the banking industry for making a lot of loans that were probably shouldn't have been made. But I also know this. The banks needed to accept some responsibility for that, but there were a lot of people who took loans from those banks knowing that they really couldn't afford to pay it back. If they would have missed one paycheck, they would probably have been in default. And one of the things we have is that we're living in a day where people want instant gratification. It kind of reminds me of the television commercial that I've seen of this young couple that's sitting in the living room and they're watching this television that has a horrible picture on it. And so they look at one another and they come up with the same idea. We'll just go get a new TV. So in that commercial, the next scene is showing that they're in this electronic store with all of these bigger, nicer TVs. And the next scene, they're back home having purchased one of these bigger TVs. It is not a coincidence that this commercial is a credit card commercial. It is not a coincidence that the song that is playing in the background is this: I want it all. I want it all, and I want it now. And that mindset that says, I will not wait until I save for it. I will not wait until I can afford it. I want it now at any cost or any expense. And I worked with a guy in the factory who told me when he went to buy a new truck, I don't care what it costs. I don't care what they charge me for it, as long as they get the monthly payment down to where I can make it. Didn't matter what interest they charged. Didn't matter what the cost was. Just get it down where I can make the payments. And we try to keep up with the Joneses, and we don't realize maybe the Joneses aren't keeping up. And many times there are young married families, young married couples that start out in life, and we want everything that mom and dad has, only they don't realize it's taken mom and dad 30 years to get that, and they want it in the first 3 years of their marriage. And then their marriage explodes because they're head over heels in debt when they used to be head over heels in love. Smile, it'll be over in a little bit. There are financial storms. There's emotional storms. There's physical storms. But many times there's storms of our own making. So there's the storms that are a normal part of life. There's storms that are storms of our own making. But sometimes there's another reason we go through the storms. And some of you will be able to relate to this. And I hope you understand, I could park longer on what I've already been on and would like to, but I must go on. Another reason for the storms. Sometimes we will go through storms that we're dragged into by somebody else. We'll go into storms that we're dragged into by somebody else. Remember I told you the children of Israel, 40-year storm in the wilderness because of their disobedience? Guess what? Joshua and Caleb went through the same 40-year storm. They were not disobedient to the Lord. They were dragged into that storm because of somebody else's disobedience. Remember I told you my brother said, I have nobody to blame but myself. He recognized this is a storm of my own making, but what he didn't realize was, he had a brother, he had a mom and a dad and a wife and a son and daughter that had been dragged into that same storm. And we grieved and we mourned as we watched his body deteriorate. Yes, it was a storm of his own making. But then at that funeral and the days to follow, it's a storm we got dragged into as well. And I think about those spouses who've been unfaithful. It was a storm they brought on themselves. But this, listen, there's also another spouse that's been dragged into a storm they didn't ask for. And every day in America, there are millions of children that awaken into a storm that they didn't ask for. Mom and dad decided they didn't love each other anymore. They went their separate ways. And now this weekend the child is dragged over here. This weekend they go over here. This weekend there's a custody who gets them then and all of that. And those children have been dragged into a storm they did not ask for. Don't get quiet on me now. There are storms that we get dragged into by somebody else. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Thrown in a fiery furnace. Daniel thrown in a den of lions. A storm they were dragged into by somebody else. Paul and Silas beaten and thrown in jail. A storm they were dragged into by somebody else. And it might be, there may be some grandparents here that maybe you were just getting used to the empty nest. My wife and I, we've been through the empty nest now. When that started out, when our sons, my sons and I are very close, and man, it was ripping my heart out when they were leaving home. I thought, do you have to leave? You can stick around, you know. And the empty nest, I didn't handle it too well. It was just eating at me. I was grieving at the empty nest. I've gotten over it. I still love my sons. I still love hanging out with them. But after they left the nest, I thought the laundry pile got smaller. The electric bill got lower and all of those things. My wife and I were together more often, except when I was on the road. And I thought, the empty nest is not all that bad. And there have been some who were just getting it to a point they were enjoying the empty nest. But one of the things that is happening now is the empty nesters are coming back to the nest. And when they come back to the nest, they're bringing not only their luggage, but they're bringing their baggage and garbage with them. Because they thought, we're going to go out, we're going to conquer the world. And they maybe suffered defeat and went through suffered some failure. And now they're coming back to live with mom and dad again. And mom and dad's been dragged into a storm because of the irresponsibility of their adult children. Or there's some grandparents that are being forced to raise their grandchildren because their children won't take responsibility to raise their own kids. And now at a point when they're much older and these grandparents are having to raise their own grandchildren or great-grandchildren, they've been dragged into storm. Not that we wouldn't do it. Not that we don't love our kids and love our grandkids and not that we don't sacrifice. But if we'd be honest, man, we're going through some storms. But they're not storms of our own making. They're storms we're dragged into by somebody else. Reasons for the storms. Storms that are just a normal part of life. Storms that are storms of our own making. Storms that we get dragged into by somebody else. Let me share the last one with you. There are storms. Ultimately, there will not be any storm you will face that doesn't pass through the hand of the Lord first. He's aware of the storms you're going through. In fact, He either allows it or may even orchestrate it. Oh, not my Heavenly Father. He wouldn't want me to go through a storm. Watch my head. Oh, yes, He might. And let me share with you three quick reasons why He would either allow it or orchestrate it. One would be in the case of Jonah. Jonah has brought on a storm of his own making. He told those other sailors on that ship, I'm the reason for this storm. Throw me overboard. Those other sailors were dragged into that storm by Jonah. But now that Jonah's thrown overboard, the Lord talks to a big fish. And that big fish comes and swallows up Jonah. That's a pretty good storm. But it's orchestrated of the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is going to discipline His wayward prophet here that should have been at Nineveh preaching. And so the Lord brings this storm by way of discipline. And there will be times that the Lord will allow a storm to come into our life. It may be just to discipline us and get us back on track. Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Now, they may not believe it in many homes. They may not believe it in the school system. Our Heavenly Father still believes in a whooping. You say, Brother George, it's whipping. No, when you get one like that, it's a whooping. And let me give you this interpretation. The words chastening and scourgeth do not mean time out. They do not mean I'm going to count to 10. If you don't do it, I'm going to count to 10 again. And if you don't do it then, I'll forget about it. chasing a scourge, and scourges mean I'm going to wear you out. Sometimes He will discipline us. Sometimes He will allow or orchestrate a storm to develop us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul was going through a physical storm, referred to as a thorn in the flesh. And lest I should be exalted of my measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted of my measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. What did He do? The Lord allowed this storm to come, this thorn in the flesh, not to discipline Paul, but to develop his faith. I could park there longer. He also will do it to give us a greater discovery of who He is. I didn't forget about the disciples in this boat. Listen to me. There will be those that will tell you there must be something wrong with you spiritually if you're going through a storm. That is not necessarily the case. Here's these disciples. They are being as obedient as they know to be, as much in the center of God's will as they know to be. The Lord said, you get in the boat, you go to the other side. You know what they did? They got in the boat and they did exactly what He said. And in the utmost obedience, they found themselves in the biggest storm. It may not be a matter of a lack of faith. I want you to notice, when Peter and Jesus gets back in the boat, look with me at verse 33. The rest of them said, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. I got news for him. He was the Son of God before they got back in the boat. He was the Son of God before the storm came up. What happened? A greater discovery of who He is. Listen. Jesus doesn't have to be in the boat to know what's going on in your life. He's up there on the mountain. And when you're going through the storm clouds may obscure your view of Him, but they have not obscured His view of you. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're going through. And without GPS, without sonar or radar, He navigated the storm. They couldn't, but He could. And He comes right to where they are. And the first thing He said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. They had a greater discovery. The other night when I preached to you from John 11, the death of Lazarus, Jesus purposely allowed them to go through that storm. Not only did they have a sick brother, but they had a dead brother. And He said, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. What happened? They got a greater discovery. Not only were they serving one who could touch a sick man, but they served one that could raise a dead man back to life again. And some of us, we will need to go through the storm to get a greater discovery of how big the God is that we're serving. There was another song, and I'm closing with this. When I was a teenager in the 70s, there was another song we wore out that said this. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys, and I thank Him for the storms He brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Through it all, yes, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. How did I learn that? By going through it. The storms are there to develop us and develop our faith. As the doorbells come to sing this, I wish I could park there longer, but we must go. And I hope that somehow, even though I've cut out a lot of this and would like to share more, I hope you got the gist of it. Folks, there are storms. Storms that are a normal part of life. Storms that are storms of our own making. Storms that we get dragged into by somebody else. but storms that are developed and are orchestrated and allowed by the Lord to develop us, sometimes to discipline us, sometimes to give us a fresh discovery of who He is. Would you stand with me, please?